Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the Old Testament lesson appointed for this, the 16th Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from Isaiah chapter 55, starting on the 6th verse and reading through to the 9th. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you help us to understand this word for us today. We ask that you help us to close the world around us out of our minds and our hearts, and especially now focus upon what it is that you have to say. Send your Holy Spirit that we might trust and especially keep those words with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, while I was down in Georgia taking care of my sister, I was also given over to taking care of her cats, one of which was adorable, the second of which was aloof, and the third really quite nasty. In her own special way. She'd tolerate you around feeding time and otherwise be given to shred your arm off if you gave her a chance. Now, I have to say that Scallywag was a very beautiful cat in spite of her disposition. And she could actually be loving under the right circumstances. She could turn and become your best friend in the middle of a thunderstorm. isn't that the truth of all of us? When we get afraid, we become quite different. You know, we're okay with being ourselves in our day-to-day living. We're okay with being our sinful selves. It's okay for us to lash out, so to speak, in the heat of the moment. It's okay to lust after someone when we're walking down the street. It's okay for us to open our mouths and slander someone or covet or steal even someone's belongings. That's all those things we do when temptation rears its ugly head and we fall. It's even easier for us, though, to turn our backs on God. See, all of those other things that I talked about, that's on the second table of the Ten Commandments. But what about the first table? The ones that say, you shall have no other gods. We shall remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And the second commandment, which says that we shall not use the Lord's name in vain. What about those? How many times have we fallen and not kept those commandments? Wow. You know, we live in a state of sin until we hear that clap of thunder, then our hearts change. Or at least I hope they do, I pray they do. We, when that happens, can be thankful for the clarity of the moment that God gives us. When we realize our sinfulness before God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Proverbs 9:10. But it's only the beginning. Fear born in the sudden realization of one's brokenness under the law doesn't drive anyone towards God. It not in and of itself. It actually causes our knees to buckle, the strength of our bones to shatter. And we just fall before God. Those who are fearful are merely rendered incapable of running. They fall upon their faces begging for mercy, as Martin Luther did on that infamous day where he himself got caught out in that terrible thunderstorm. I don't know if you remember that story. He was heading back to law school after burying one of his friends. This after a series of deaths of his friends. The thought of death was really quite fresh in his mind when the wind started to whip up and the rain started to pour down. He was literally drenched, and lightning was flashing all around him. He had no place to hide out in that bush. The sound of thunder came instantaneously with the blinding flashes of light, and Luther ended up in a heap trying to make a deal with God. If you spare my life, he said, I'll become a monk. That was his promise, but even that promise didn't spare Luther. And he knew it. Throughout seminary, he struggled with the thought of dying. He struggled with the fear of God's wrath. Then something changed for him. He realized that making deals with God was only a placebo, was a sugar pill that changed nothing. It was a legal exchange of one problem for another. You've heard it said, when thunder roars, stay indoors. Those words of wisdom provide people with the illusion of being safe when they're out there. But when God's law speaks into our hearts, there's no place to hide. When the law thunders, the lightning of judgment has already struck and done so with absolute lethality. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. Note how quickly in that one verse God turns that statement of law into a statement of life. Both are offered up to us to taste unreservedly and unconditionally, one beside the other, and put there as if they were inseparable, but they are completely separate. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Psalm 103:12. God, through the prophet Isaiah, here in this beautiful sermon text today, is beckoning you to have clearness of mind. He's saying, seek the Lord. I'll read it to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In cat speak, that's a divine invitation not to run away from God, but to get up into his lap and stay there, because it's there and only there that lightning has already struck and can never strike again. The CN Tower gets struck on average 75 times a year. The Empire State Building recorded a total of 8 strikes in one electrical storm event. 8 strikes in a storm that lasted a mere 24 minutes. I had a Sharp TV, 20-inch portable. It got struck a total of 3 times in its lifetime. Once, believe it or not, in each of the 3 houses that I lived in Kitchener. And no, we did not bring that set to Fullerton when we took the call up here to Mitchell. It, unlike the CN Tower or the Empire State Building, seemed to have an attraction to lightning no matter where it stood. TV sets aside, though, understand this. Christ bore the full brunt of God's wrath in one horrible lightning strike for our sake. He, in his anguish, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the full realization that his atoning death would mean that all those who call upon his name are under his protection and will never be struck by death again. And that, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is so very foreign to us. We who deserve death for our transgressions are spared the fullness of God's wrath and given to life to all eternity because of Jesus. None of us would have ever thought it possible for God to accomplish such a great thing on our behalf. None of us, especially on our own, would have ever devised such a plan to redeem ourselves as to say we're going to spare ourselves from God's wrath at God's expense. None of us would have even considered doing that on the cross. And yet God, whose thoughts are so much higher than ours, deliberately chose us chose to redeem us by his blood. That, my dear friends, is a higher way. And it's presented to us only in the good news of the gospel. God's assured us in a way that's crystal clear because of the cross, because Jesus died there and rose again on the third day. We who were once under the law are no longer held captive by the law. Now that gospel, that good news message accompanies us wherever we go. We don't have to seek God out and sit in his lap to benefit from his protection. We're under his constant care as his children, and that frees us up to go anywhere in our lives to all eternity. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's the key verse for this week, Psalm 27:1. Look for it in your Bibles or find it on our website, Psalm 27, verse 1. Feel free to write that down for yourselves or download it or print it off and refer to that often in the week ahead, especially if you are being attacked by Satan, if you are being told that the law is going to kill you. The law has no power over you because the gospel has set you free. Hang on to that fact and reflect upon it for the week. Reflect upon how God has made your salvation so wonderfully clear. He's considered you beautiful in Christ and welcomed you to himself according to his ways, according to the cross, and treated you as his beloved in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we praise your name for what it is that you have done. You've set us free in an atoning sacrifice that we ourselves could not have ever possibly come up with or imagined. We praise your name for that gift, and we ask, dear God, that you help us to always retain it in our hearts and to trust it fully and also to proclaim it, because there are many people out there who are still hearing that thunder roar and are terrified. Help us to be a place that they can run to, a place where your word is offered up freely, and a place where we sit and pray with them and point them to your salvation. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.